Hello, my name is Christoph Kemper, founder of the Link Research Tools, creator of Link Detox, and this is the Link Building and SEO podcast. And today we got a very, very special guest in the show. His name is Barry Schwartz. Barry Schwartz, or Comic Barry.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Barry, from my point of view, everyone should know you, but maybe 30 seconds who you are, what your background and history is. I think I met you first in 2005 already, so you've been around forever.
Sure. Yeah. So in the search world, I pretty much write a lot. I cover most of the organic SEO related changes to Google. I write, I'm the news editor at Search Engine Land, and I founded the Search Engine Roundtable. I've been writing about Google and search changes and SEO since 2003 or so. And I've been to tons of conferences across, you know, XMX, and other conferences as well. So One of my hobbies is really to just cover what's going on with Google in terms of organic search.
It's your hobby, right?
Hobby, yes.
That's how you call it. That's what it takes to have that drive and the endurance to do this over 14 years now, like round the clock, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hobby. So as you know, it's a very exciting field to be in. Uh-huh. And I feel like if I could cover it without having any, I mean, a lot of people cover it without bias and they have companies, but I try to cover the stuff that's going on in the SEO world without saying, oh, hire me or hire me to do this or that, because right. I have a business that I can make money on totally outside of the SEO space, which is nice. So I can write about it as a hobby and not really care what people say about what I write.
Okay, and that sounds crazy. You know, you have this visibility. You are on all these conferences. You run this 24/7 as a hobby, and I totally believe you. And I love, you know, how you describe this. But you have a business on the side that you live from. What's that?
I wouldn't call it a business on the side. It's probably I would call the SEO stuff a hobby on the side, but. It's a company called Rusty Brick. We build software for companies. So most of that's web-based software with mobile software as well. So anything from building software for emergency room hospitals to party planning companies to taxi cab software, you name it, we build anything that's custom that should be web-based software or mobile software. So that's what my company does. We just build customized software for businesses to become more efficient and to stay on top of their game. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is still, you know, what you do as a hobby and the output that you create as a hobby. Do you actually work at Rusty Brick? I mean, do you do some in the operations, in the daily operations there, or is this the company you own?
Yeah, no, it's a company I own, but I'm very involved in the day-to-day. We have our Slack channel. Everybody works in our office for the most part. We have one employee that's not really on site, but we have about 25 employees at Rusty Brick in our New York office. And it's what we do. Yeah, I'm involved very, very closely. I have obviously great employees that do great work and they can handle a lot of the details, but I'm obviously involved in new customers. I'm involved in, you know, making decisions. We also have software products that we sell and stuff like that. So I'm involved in constant meetings and constant decisions throughout the whole entire day.
Amazing, amazing. It sounds unbelievable even to me, and I work a lot and drive a lot, but that, you know, is something that you can, I think, really be proud of, because frankly, I think most of the people don't know, like, I didn't have all these details after all these years, so that's really impressive to me. And, you know, when you cover everything that Google does, is this more the SEO, or is this more the let's say, the strategy, the products, or I perceive SEO very strong, but what about, you know, AdWords, all these AdWords changes? Is that something you cover, follow as well?
Okay, so on, as you know, I write at Search Engine Land and Search Engine Roundtable. On Search Engine Land, I pretty much personally try to stick with the SEO beat, the organic search beat. But I also am pretty much responsible for making sure all the writers at Search Engine Land and Marketing Land have their topics to write about through the day. That includes, obviously, the paid side. It includes some social stuff. So I do track a lot of different news sources and blogs and people on Twitter and Facebook and so forth to find new stories. And I'm pretty good at finding new stories. Because of that, I do tell people at Search Engine Land what to write about across paid search as well as social. And at Search Engine Roundtable, my, I guess, guideline is I only will try to cover something that the SEO or search marketing industry is talking about in the discussion forums. So if they're on Webmaster World or a Black Hat forum or on Twitter or Facebook in a public setting, in a public forum thread, if they're discussing that topic, let it be John Mueller said this, or AdWords released this feature, or something related to search. On Search Around Time, I won't cover social, but if it's anything related to Google or Bing on the search side, being paid search or organic search, I will cover it. It just happens to be that on the more people talk about the SEO stuff than the paid side. So I'll only talk about the paid side if it's a mostly significant news or a major bug that's impacting people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a little bit weird that more people talk about the SEO side, the organic side, while in large companies, you often find, you know, the majority of the budget going to paid, you know, like it's sometimes I see a 20-to-1 relation in paid versus organic budget. Why is that?
Maybe it's the places I'm tracking or the people I know, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with more of the culture. The paid side, there's budgets. There's it's not like people are complaining too much about, oh, my rankings dropped or this feature has hurt me that badly or something like that, or feature snippets has gone away and stuff like that, because they complain maybe to their AdWords reps and they keep it off the social networks and so forth.
But yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense a lot. Okay, here's a quick one. Do you miss Matt Cutts?
Yes, I do.
I saw this post the other day where you mentioned that he would come back to Google for one day to give this presentation, hire people for the government, which doesn't seem to, you know, be that often. And I thought about that. It's been four years. It's in 2017 now. Is it 4 years that he left? No, three.
It depends on when he officially left. I mean, he officially left at the beginning of the year. So before that, he was just, I don't know, he kind of like not officially left before that. So.
Yeah, well, I can agree and confirm. I mean, I feel the same. And I think a lot of people miss Matt for being him for all these years. Would actually make a great interview guest as well in his podcast, now that we talk about that.
Yeah, good luck with that. He's pretty busy at the U.S. Digital Departments team trying to thing going. So.
No, I'm just making up. With all the stuff that you've, you know, come across all these years, is there something that you say, well, this was a real kicker, this is what I, you know, dream about still after all these years, or some big change, or something where you said, oh my God, this can't be true?
I don't know if there's anything. I mean, there's always the algorithm updates, especially the penguins and the pandas, and obviously we had Fred recently, and Google denied that happening, and then they eventually said, "Yeah, we had an algorithm update." I like those. I like when I catch a lot of people complaining about an algorithm update. Mm-hmm. Google denies it, or they just don't admit it, and then you push them enough, and eventually they give you say, "Yeah, we actually did something." So those are enjoyable in terms of, you know, obviously getting sites that have got hit by those updates are not happy about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of covering it and getting Google to say something they wouldn't otherwise have said without, you know, I guess me covering it is useful nice.
I agree. I think you did a fantastic job over all these years, basically getting a statement, you know, and then finally getting a confirmation after what weeks, you know, this Penguin 4, for example, you know, the real-time Penguin, just looking at the data, this happened on September 1st, whatever the official version of that is. We saw that in basically, basically beginning of September already happening. And that means it took a month to confirm officially. I think it was end of September or beginning. Wait, what was the date? October 4? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Google denied it actually rolling out until I think like the end of September, like you said.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, there were a lot of updates. It's hard to judge what's being tested versus when the actual rollout happened. So maybe they were testing things and you saw a blip on your radar. So it's really always hard to test to say, hey, this is Penguin 4.0, because Google might say, all right, this version of Penguin 4.0 was released on this date. Then we started doing this release of it, because it might be multiple pieces of it that have
released. Yeah, true. I'm not complaining. I'm excited that Unio could confirm this on September 23. I just looked it up here, and at least it is a confirmation. I don't care about the exact date, and we've been waiting for that for a whole year anyways, since the first announcement on that. And, you know, connecting to Penguin here, You still hear these stories of you know, people that never recovered from Penguin, people, you know, that lost their website. You know, that's basically the exact words. I lost my website in the first Penguin update. Did it occur to you, you know, that this is maybe just because they didn't do a full link audit? We just found that out in the last month that, you know, a lot of the link audits were basically done incomplete, partial on not all the possible links that we find now.
So can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Did you think about the idea or the possibility that a lot of the websites did not recover from Penguin just because not enough links were audited? So let's say from 100%, only 2% or only 10%, just because the link data that we had available back then in 2012, back then in 2013, wasn't as rich as it is now. Because in Link Research Tools, we just recently increased that massive with a 25th link data source and could 5x, 10x, 20x the data. And for some sites, this is a huge difference. So I'm thinking right now, it is actually totally possible that some websites did not recover from the Penguin, because it's not a manual action, it's algorithmic, right? Did not recover because just not a big enough backlink profile was known back then and wasn't audited back then.
Well, when it comes to link penalties, even Penguin 4.0 or even manual actions, once Google kind of discounts those links, you were originally ranking well from all these really bad links, then Google ran another algorithm and discounted all of them, you're not going to rank as well as you used to. So even if you saw a little boost, let's say you were getting 100 visits a day, and then Penguin rolled along and you got 20 visits a day because you got hit hard. And then you kind of did things to recover, and Google then said, oh, you did recover, you're no longer hurt by our Penguin algorithm. So now you're getting 50 visits a day. So you're only half of, you know, not seeing it.
Okay, because those links are not there. But what I'm saying is, if you have 1,000 links audited and you cleaned those up and you thought you did your job, and now I come around the corner and say, actually, I find another 5,000 links that you didn't know about that are still hurting you. This is what I'm seeing right now. That are still holding you back, that might have helped you, but are still holding you back for some shares if it's toxic links there. This is what we see right now. Have you heard about that or thought about that?
It's hard to say because, again, Penguin these days are not hurting you. They're just being discounted. So we're moving. If you're hit by Penguin, it's not like you're hurting from it. You're just not benefiting from the links that are toxic. So those toxic links just no longer count. Removing those links, technically with Penguin 4.0, the real-time algorithm, won't benefit you. It's more about getting good links that should benefit you. Of course, a manual action or other maybe link penalties might hurt you. But when it comes to Penguin, it's about discounting links that may have benefited you that no longer can benefit you going forward.
And where's that coming from?
That information? That's from Google. That's from Google's... Google said they discount you. They don't... they discount the links. So they don't count. They don't hurt you. The links aren't going to necessarily demote you anymore. It's more of a reevaluation that those links no longer count and no longer benefiting you.
But that was actually a misunderstanding in October of last year or so, because what we see is when we do, we just recently saw a full link audit leading to, and the disavow of that leading to a 370% increase in organic traffic. That's 5x more traffic. By just taking away toxic links, Google didn't take them away. We took them away and the traffic went 5x. And funny enough, the conversions rate actually went up 150%. So it went to a 2.5x. How do you explain that then?
Well, that might not be related to Penguin. That might be related to either a manual action or it might be related to another link-related algorithm that's not Penguin. So it doesn't make a difference, you know, calling it Penguin or not. Penguin, Google said this algorithm does no longer demotes a website. They say they just discount. They don't count those links at all.
Ah, okay. So your theory is
something. It's not a theory. My theory is basically you're basically recovering from manual action or something not related to Penguin. Links are not. There's plenty of link algorithms out there. Penguin is just the most well known.
Okay. I got it. So it was not a manual action. So what are you saying? You're actually absolutely right. It's not just Penguin out there. It's link penalties or link filters that, you know, might not have a name at the moment or might not be labeled Penguin anymore on that. But basically, that's a behavior that is the exact opposite of what you just said, that, you know, those links wouldn't hurt you, but just be discounted. So actually, I disagree with this statement, or basically say that, you know, I agree with that. You know, if they said that for this one case, in this other case, they actually, the behavior is very much the same that we saw before. So that's, it keeps us busy, if you want. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I just see we are very, very 16 minutes already into the interview. I try to keep this short and sweet. What's your golden SEO tip that you want to give away to the audience today? Something that could make them rich overnight, you know?
Buy links.
Buy links, come on.
There's nothing really golden. I mean, it's this, my advice to anybody who wants to rank well in Google is you want to make sure your site is so great that if Google does not rank it for the keywords that it's relevant for, that it's embarrassing to Google that they don't have you guys ranking. That's that's always my advice. Like if you are, I don't know, if you have the best product that does whatever, blue widgets, and you're better by, you know, so much than everybody else and you're not ranking well, if Google sees that, they might scratch their heads and say, obviously there's something wrong with their algorithm, and they will be embarrassed that you're not ranking. So my advice is to create something that's so wow, which is hard, but at the same time, look at the tools that you guys have built. It is, you know, there's really nothing out there at that level in terms of figuring out what are your toxic links. And if you didn't rank well for, I don't know, you know, toxic links or keywords around that, that would be embarrassing for Google. And that would be something you would want to change their algorithm for.
Deliver wows. That's actually our number one core value in the company. So I think we're on a good track with that. That's just it. I have nothing to add to that golden SEO tip, or actually, you know, just because you were laughing at the buy links, I find it interesting, and I'm not sure how you perceive that, that people actually say buy links and talk about buying links and, you know, walk around at conferences talking about how they basically came out of their shade to do the things that they did because it works. And works still or works again. Is that something where you see people getting more open again about, you know, the tactics that Google doesn't appreciate and, of course, you know, fought hard to shut them down?
Yeah. So, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, everybody was out and saying proudly they bought links or they did link building and certain techniques to go ahead and
it worked very well. Bad.
And then it went quite quiet because Google was issuing all these you know, manual actions and also issuing all these algorithm issues with Penguin and stuff like that. And people got quiet about it because they were getting too, you know, cocky about how well they were doing around links. But I guess you could say a lot of people are talking about it more these days in terms of link building works and certain types of link efforts that maybe are buying links works. You see a lot of the Black Hat forums where, you know, Black Hats are saying, this technique still works, or PBNs, you know, public blog network still works and stuff like that. And at the same time, Google's constantly releasing new algorithms or new manual actions that hit all these public blog networks. So it's kind of like this cat and mouse game between Google and the Black Hats or link builders where, you know, it used to work, it stopped working, new things work, and then Google gets those new things. So it's really, if you want to play that game, and there's a big industry in that game, as you know, where, you know, you burn these websites down, build new ones up. That's a big game, and you could definitely play that game. But at the same time, I wouldn't do it with a you know, Apple.com or a, or, you know, any of these big brands, you can really
help them. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is certainly something, you know, not for everyone, but, you know, that's basically a common saying for every type of business or business tactic. I guess in the, you know, before Penguin, people were just too open, too cocky, too bragging too much, making Google look bad, you know, embarrassed Google, basically, with some of those speeches that I saw in the early days. And I was surprised that they took action only in 2012 and not sooner, actually. All right. Oh, wow. That was a great interview, Barry. I have to wrap this up. I say thank you very much for being on the show for, 20 minutes. And I hope to have you again very soon.
Thanks for having me. I deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
I do so as well. And thank you, everyone out there. This was Barry Schwarz from Search Engine Land, Search Engine Roundtable, host of the Pulse Show at Webmaster Radio FM, Search Engine Strategies, Marketing Expo, Popcorn, I don't know, you know, everywhere, and appeared on CBS, NBC, you name it. Thank you very much, Barry, and thank you, everyone, for listening out there, and have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon. My name is Christoph Kemper of Link Research Tools and Link Detox. Bye-bye.